Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpvc.org.
You'd be surprised how many people God has in the world that we do not know of because we don't see it and we don't hear it. You'd be surprised how many people would respond if we spoke out because we don't see their heart and God does. That's one reason the nation has become so under the influence of Satan, so very negative about calling upon the name of the Lord in public and so politically correct that they don't want it said, they don't want it publicized, they don't want it known, because God does have people in the world. And when those people hear the truth of the sovereignty and power of God and the salvation of God, there's quite a difference made in their life, and Satan doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. We live in a nation blessed of God. We live in a world that God has kept his people a place to live. That's not this nation. That's the kingdom, the church, a place where we worship, given to us of God. But we do have a nation that's been blessed of God. It should be of no one's surprise that Satan attacks this nation. That our government is in the darkness of men, that it is put forth in the media and outlets that make things public and have a way of influencing men, women, and children, especially the entertainment industry. We need to be standing up for the truth of God. We need to be, what's it say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Yeah. We need to be saying so. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and go with the text I came with because it's been on my mind all week, very troubled. And it will go right along, because God's children are persecuted heavily, especially in this nation. We see get home last week and see the wickedness of the flesh and the man that went in the church in Texas and killed those people. They say he even walked up to infants that could not even walk and shot them dead. The police in me comes out wanting to stomp forward. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine.
Right.
And I will repay. I'm not a police officer anymore. I retired from that, so I do not have the authority to do that. I must stand in the authority that God has placed upon me here, which is to teach the gospel and to rely on God. But you see the children of God suffering greatly in that. We go back, and although it wasn't a church meeting, I'm sure there were children of God there where the madman shot all those people at that concert a few weeks ago. It's no different. I don't know why it should surprise us. We had a shooting in Moody Friday night. Some man from Fairfield comes out here and shoots his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend because she's with some other male. It's the only facts that are known. Went to get a haircut yesterday. People talking about that. My response was, why should that surprise you? Yeah. Our conscience in this nation has been seared with a hot iron. Mm-hmm. When we allow the murder of 3,000 unborn children a day, our senses become dull, our conscience seared. Death has no meaning. We have no respect for death. We have no respect for life, and it's a sad situation. I thought about what is death? If we're going to look at death, let's look at life. Last week we spoke on the text, those who were ordained to eternal life believed, and we talked a little bit about life. Apostle Paul made mention in the first chapter, I believe, of the Philippian letter, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, we're going to look at death today, but let's look at life first. For to me to live is Christ. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, during creation, the last thing that God created was the man from the dust of the ground, and then the woman from the man. The woman crowned it all. She was the last thing he made. But regarding the man, verse 7, the Lord God formed man the dust of the ground. God made him. God formed him. What did he make him from? Everything else, God did not need anything to make. He didn't have to bring in material to create the earth. God created. He spoke and it was so. But we have an understanding of life and death in this text because God created man from the dust of the ground. The earth is temporal. I do not believe, because I believe the Scripture does not testify to the fact, or to the idea rather, that this world was meant to be eternal. I don't believe that. People say Adam had eternal life. No, he did not. You want proof of that? Let's go to chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 22. After man's fall, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. He didn't become as God. He doesn't have the power of God. He's not eternal. He is a creature. He is not God. He did not become God. He became as God in the fact of knowing good and evil. He fell from innocence. He fell from perfection. And now, lest he put forth his hand to understand this, and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. God created the tree of life. God told this man, thou mayest freely eat of it. It was a tree which would give eternal life. He never ate of that tree. This is evidenced here. Because God drove him forward from the garden where was the presence of the tree, lest he should have eaten of the tree, and oh, the mercy of God in driving him away. Lest he had eaten of the tree and gained eternal life and lived in the state of sin forever. Don't tell me God doesn't work judgment and mercy to his people, because everything he does is judgment and mercy. Therefore, God drove him from the garden. God put the cherubims with the flaming swords to keep the way. That's another text, another day. I'm just making a point with that. Of life. God created man from the dust of the ground. Dust is of the earth that God created. It was created temporal. It was created as something that would be replaced. And therefore, that teaches us that this body was not eternal in its created nature, even in the uprightness of man, even in the perfection that God made, even in the innocence. He didn't have eternal life. That body was going to die at one point or another. Unless he had been, had partaken of that fruit. With that said, God created man from the dust of the ground, because we're talking about death, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What is life? Life is a gift of God. God breathed the breath of life, breathed it into Adam. Once that breath of life, the Spirit of God, back to Philippians, for to me to live is Christ, the living Word of God, the Spirit of anointing, the Spirit of Christ is the life. It is the same Spirit that gives you life. But it moved upon him and he became a living soul. This soul. This spirit, Scripture calls it a ghost. Scripture calls it spirit. Scripture calls it soul. Scripture calls it life. Will never die in the text of ceasing to exist. We know Adam sinned and death, sin passed upon all. Jude talks about those in verse, is it 22? Or is it 12? That are twice dead, 12. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. How are they twice dead? That goes back to our nature in Adam. They are dead in sin. That is once dead. And they are dead to God. The Apostle Paul tells us, speaking of all the elect of God, as they live in this world, before they reach eternal glory, they have to be changed. Therefore, in you hath he quickened, given life. By our nature, we're once dead. We're depraved in Adam. We're dead in sin. But a child of God is not dead to God, because we know that every child of God, before they come to God, has to be changed. They had to be cleansed in the blood of Christ, and they have to be given life. So we're once dead, and he quickens us. But these people are twice dead. They're dead in sin, and they are dead to God. A child of God is not dead to God. Man became a living soul. Let me give you the text that was on my mind all week thinking about this. And thinking about the children that were killed. Those people there murdered while they're assembled to worship God. We read stories of the first century church where, in history, where disciples had to meet in caves, put a man with a sword at the door, someone to warn, someone to protect. We don't have the authority to attack and create war. That's reserved to government. If government did that correctly and was a terror to evil, we'd have less problem, but they don't. We have the authority given of God to defend ourselves. So we lock doors and we watch the front door. We're prepared to defend ourselves as those brethren were in that day. I've heard stories of churches in Texas where they had to have a man or two outside with a rifle during the early stages of the state or territory because of the Native American, and I'm not getting into all that, which they were driving out, let me just say it that way, coming to attack. These people were worshiping the Lord to the best of their knowledge and ability. And here comes a man in and starts killing. I don't have the authority to judge that man. He bears witness of what he is in my eyes, but I'm not even going to comment on that. I do not have the authority to judge that man eternally, nor the knowledge. I'm sure the thief on the cross was thought to be reprobate, and we know what happened there. Mm-hmm. It's not my business. It's not my call. I don't have that knowledge and understanding. But I do have this knowledge. The 116th Psalm, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How is death precious? Well, first of all, it's precious because God's children are precious. Now, he says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What is a saint? A saint is not one that Papa Rome declares a saint, because they don't have the authority to declare one a saint. I don't have the authority to declare one a saint. The only person That's not correct terminology. The only being, which is the eternal God, who has the authority to declare one a saint is the Father. Those that are saints are those He gave to the Son to die for. The elect of God. The choice of God. The children of God. Those that Christ came into the world to die for. How are they precious? They're precious so much that the God of creation, who cannot even look upon sin, came into this world, walked among the darkness of the world, and sinful, wicked men, even His own hating Him, being at enmity with God, died for them, laid His life down, raised it back up, and ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. You're that precious to God. If you love God, you are that precious to God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Everyone the Father gave to the Son. Everyone the Father cleansed. What does that word saint mean? Without sin, you are without sin. Christ died for you while you were at enmity with God. Therefore, you are a saint of God. You are without sin. I know in this world we feel low down. I know in this world we bear shame because we still walk in this sin-cursed body. Now, I haven't left my text. I'm about to go back. But this body is sin. That's another reason why precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. First and foremost, judgment belongs to God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. 2 Thessalonians, Paul gives us an understanding of the judgment of God upon the ungodly and how they will suffer because of what they have done unto you. Because you are precious and they have persecuted you. Let me go to Psalm 44 very quickly on that line of thought. And we see why we suffer. If you began reading this psalm, and I'm not going through the whole thing, but you can read the first part of this, and you can see we're beginning in verse 8. The Spirit speaking about God's children. We boast all the day long and praise the name, thy name forever. You read this text and you put it with the rest of the history of the nation of Israel and you see that God had blessed them. They cried praise unto God, but because of the own nature of their sinful flesh, they were turned away from God. And just to very briefly go through this, they were punished because they turned away from God. And they were all this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten them. What came upon them? Confusion. Being delivered to the hand of their enemies. Being killed because they turned from God. What does that teach us? That teaches us that one reason we suffer is because we turn from God and disobey God. Then again, we find later on in verse 22 of the 44th Psalm, he says, yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. What's the other reason that we're killed? We see it manifested today as well as the first reason, because we are God's children and the world hates us and Satan hates us and they attack us. Those poor children, infants in their mother's arms, they're in the very church house worshiping God with their parents shot down and killed. People want to cry out, and yes, they should. What about the unborn? What about the unborn? Nobody says a word. That's silent. And on that thought, there's so much here to talk about. Let me go to Isaiah 57. We've discussed this before, but it does not hurt to bring things to your remembrance. Isaiah 57, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. You see people killed. You see all these, the 26 people murdered in a church worshiping God. Righteous perisheth. You see the unborn killed in the mother's womb. Well, we don't know if they're God's children. I've heard that said. Give me a break. Does Satan persecute his own? Were not the Israelites thrown into the river in the day of Moses when God sent a deliverer? Were they not killed because they were God's children? When Christ was born and Herod in his madness sought to murder all the children from 2 years old down because the Magi, the children of the East, had come to worship the king. It took them 2 years to get there. So in his madness, let every child of Israel, 2 years old and under, be slain. Innocent. Innocent as man ever gets, and we're born sinners, unable to protect themselves. Unable to even flee. Were they not God's children? Was that not the reason they were slaughtered? Well, we don't know if they're God's or not. Speaking of those murdered in abortion. Give me a break. Give me a break. Do you read the Bible? The righteous perisheth. No man layeth to heart. Do you know what happens when we die? We're with Christ. Speaking of the righteous, when they die, they are with Christ. Genesis 25 says Abraham lived to a good old age and died, gave up the ghost. That's the part that God breathed into him. The earthly body, the natural body, was laid down. But what God breathed into him by his Spirit, which is eternal and cannot cease to exist, was gathered unto his people. Where were his people? Back to Jude, two verses after 12, 13, 14, I believe, that Enoch prophesied, "The Lord cometh with tens of thousands of his saints." What are they coming to do? He's speaking of the day of the resurrection when Christ shall appear, body and soul reunited, and judgment upon the wicked. Who are those? Tens of thousands of the saints. There will be Abraham. There will be his people, which he was gathered unto. There will be every child of God that's ever been conceived, whether he was born or not, died in the womb maybe, but they shall all be there because he was gathered unto his people. The righteous take what the Bible says. The righteous perisheth because we disobey God, because the world hates us. And no man, natural man, this is speaking in the text, this is written of the Jews, which justified themselves by the gold of the temple and the silver of the temple and their fame and their power and their control. They didn't care about the righteous. They didn't care about them perishing. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men, if the heart has mercy, it has love. God is love. If the heart has love, God is there. I'm not speaking of love of the Ishmaelite loving his camel or a man loving the outdoors or any. I'm talking about a love of the brotherhood, a love of wife, a love of family, the institutions of God, the love that God gives us for them. What we have, family and church. Merciful men, born of God, God within them, are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. What evil? These people in this context were taken away from the evil of Judah falling and being led into Babylon. Those that die today are taken away from the evil in this world that's going to follow today, because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And God has taken them away from that. And every one of them taken from this world of creation is taken away from the evil to come in the judgment of God on the last day, because there they will be with Christ. They will come with Christ, in Christ, the dead in Christ, on the day of judgment, in perfect love. And perfect love hath no fear. They're dead. What is death? When the temporal, natural body is laid down. Spirit can't die in the sense of ceasing to exist. The spirit can die in being separated from God, dead or twice dead. Those that are not gods are twice dead. They'll never come back. But the body's laid down, and that is death. What does Romans 6:7 say? Let's look at death, brethren. Death is a release. Death is a victory. He that is free, he that is dead is freed from sin. And I realize that's speaking spiritually, but physically gives us an example. And it is the same concept. It is the same truth. He that is dead, the natural body, laid down to dust again, is freed from sin. Okay. God gives you life. That life is in your soul. That life is in your spirit. That life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God within you. Christ said, he that believeth on me, why do you believe on God? Because he's revealed himself unto you in rebirth. I am your Father, he says. He that believeth on me shall never die. Well, the body lays down and we weep because we love our loved ones and we sorrow that we miss them. We see them suffer. I watched my mother suffer with cancer. She hurt. When the Lord took her, I rejoiced. Thank you, Lord. Because by the grace of God, I have an understanding. Amen. She shall, this says, he shall enter into peace. There's no more sin. There's no more sorrow. There's no more temptation. The body of Adam, the body of nature is dead. That spirit and soul which is alive is with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. While we live out verse 6, while we live in this body, we're absent from the Lord. That does not say that God is not with us. That says that we cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God and see Him while we live in this body of flesh, because God cannot look upon sin. The very next verse clarifies that, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But when we die, we're not having faith anymore. We don't need it, because there we see, for we shall see Him as He is. What is death? Free from sin.
Yes.
When we see the children murdered in the womb, it angers me. It makes me hurt in my soul. But God is so far above us. There, those little children are taken and cut in pieces inside their mother's womb. They never walk in this sin-cursed earth. They never experience the death and desolation and all the hatred, evil, wickedness that we see, brethren. They leave the safety, the sanctity of their mother's womb, and go straight to glory. Yes. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, the body asleep in the ground. But what does it say after the comma? The body's in the ground. The body's dead. Finish the text. Each one walking. Walking. How does a dead man walk? Walking, because he's not dead. The body died. The body laid down. Awaiting the day of the resurrection. Each one walking and his uprightness in the presence of Christ. Let me get to a few texts over here. Figure out which one I want first. Lord, I pray. Give you an understanding. I've chosen, now this is in Matthew 17, but I've taken this text because it expounded a little different way. And verse 28, this is the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us this mortal body shall be made immortal, that this corruptible body shall put on incorruption, that be raised up in the image of Christ. I've actually heard people say that we're going to have millions of people walking around that look just like Jesus. No. The word resurrect means to bring the same thing forth again. I've heard people say from the Galatian letter, we're neither Jew nor Greek, but we're all Jew, that, and we're neither male nor female, that we're not going to be male or female in the resurrection. I don't believe that. The very word resurrect means to bring the same thing forth again. God made men. God made women. God did not make genderless creatures. I believe when we come forth from the grave, we're going to be the same body that we have now. That's what the word means. Resurrect. Raise it up. Now with that said, give you an idea. We're going to be in the image of Christ. And it came to pass about 8 days after the saying took Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray, the Mount of Olives. And as he prayed, the fast of his countenance was altered. You want to know what the image of Christ is? Read this text. Stop and think. This is Christ. He had laid aside the glory of God to come into this world. They were blessed to see him in his glory. The fashion of his countenance. This is how you are going to be in a glorified body, brethren. And those that are dead and gone and murdered are seeing him right now as he is this way. His raiment was white and glistering. It's the glory of God. Brighter than the light. Whiter than any white in this world. Righteous. Without sin. And so will you be. What does that mean? Perfection. No more sin. No more death. No more heartache. No more sorrow. The song we sing, better farther on. Yes, it is. And behold, there talked with him two men. Let's read and understand. Which were Moses and Elias. Moses been dead some 1,500 years. Elijah wasn't far behind him. They were dead. They weren't asleep. They wasn't sleeping, the spirit with the body in the grave. Oh, their body was in the ground, except for Elijah, carried up into heaven. A whirlwind, chariot, fire, horses, glory of God. But my point to you is that they had been gone. And yet here they were.
Yeah.
And they are alive. And they have knowledge. They're glorified in spirit, awaiting the resurrection and the glorified body. Here is Moses and Elias who appeared in glory with Christ. Because that's where the dead in Christ go. That's where they are. At the right hand of the majesty on high. And spake of his decease. Well, when you leave this world, you're not going to know what's going on. You're not going to know anything. Where does this foolishness come from? Do you see Moses and Elijah talking with the very Son of God, himself, Jesus Christ? They knew what he'd come to do. They knew the condition of the world. They knew the sin of man. They knew redemption was here. And they knew that Christ was going to finish the work the Father gave him to do. They spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And when they departed, Peter said, let us raise up 3 tabernacles. I want to make one point with that before moving to the next part of my text. Peter knew, we're not going to know anybody. Where does the Bible teach that? It says, we shall be known as we are. They'd been dead. Peter had never met Moses. Peter had never met Elijah. But he knew them. Why? For we shall be known as we are, as sons of God. Let's go to Luke 16. Let me tell you this. I'm going to start reading with the rich man and Lazarus just to make a few points on what time I've got left. This is not a parable. I have used it to make an illustration of grace and law. I will accept that. I will love that. And I have taught that. And at some point, if I live long enough, we'll teach it again. There's nothing wrong with showing something from another of the same thing. But this is a factual story, statement given by the Lord. It's about the rich man and Lazarus. Regarding death, let us take note. 16 of Luke and 22. The beggar, the old man, laid at the gate full of sores. This is not saying every poor person is going to heaven, nor is it saying every rich man is going to hell. The Lord is using this fact to explain to these self-righteous, greedy rulers of the Jews that all their money, all their power, all their fame would not bring them into heaven. The beggar died. What happens at death? The body is laid down. Is that the end? God forbid. He that is dead is freed from sin. Where do we go? We go with Christ. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That is what the Jews call heaven and immortal glory. You see how they get there? Well, they accepted the Lord. No, that's not what it says. God chose you. John 6, 38 through 44. Well, they worked their way there. No. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How did they get there? The covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. How do they get there physically? And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. God sends his angels because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You cannot be lost. You cannot get away. You're a prisoner of Christ. You're bought. You're paid for. He owns you. You are Christ. And Christ is God. It's carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. What's it say about him? And was buried. Well, I'm sure the poor man was buried too. Because that is the tradition all through Scripture. That's why we do it today. From dust to dust. Back into the ground. But there's a little different in the telling here. It gives us a full knowledge of the poor old child of God that suffers affliction in this world, being carried by the angels into heaven and immortal glory in the presence of Christ. And this man, whom God left in his very state of nature, twice dead in sin, dead to God, that's not God's fault. We fell in Adam. It's the grace of God that we have life, and we ought to be saying so. Amen, Steve, I agree with you. And in hell, You don't think there's a hell? Read what the Lord said. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Where does a wicked man go at death? The psalmist said, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Quit feeling sorry for the unregenerate wicked. Quit feeling sorry for a man that will walk into a church house with people trying to worship God and shooting them in the back and killing helpless children. Quit feeling sorry for these people that deceive and lead godly people astray when they go into a clinic and have their children cut in pieces while in their womb. I'm not talking about the mamas. I'm talking about those that deceive them, wicked, unregenerate people. There is a hell that God created for the suffering of the wicked. And I thank God for that. Amen. And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. Well, you're not going to know nothing when you're in heaven. He's in torments. What does he see? Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's part of the punishment that you see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is the separation from God. And I'm giving you this to give you an understanding because it's time to close. We live in a body of flesh made from the ground that's going to die one day unless we're alive when the Lord comes back. I don't know why God has been merciful to me and given me a life as long as I have. I surely do not deserve it. The innocent, the righteous perishes. Merciful men taken away. We mourn. We cry. We get angry at those that persecute them and kill them. Brethren, don't look on the knowledge of the world. Look on the knowledge of God. They have left creation. They have left this world. They have left time. They are in heaven with Christ to never die again, to never suffer again, because that's where a child of God goes. Death is a release from sin. Death is a victory. He said in Hosea 13:14, O grave, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy victory. Isaiah 25, about verse 8, he shall ransom them because he defeated death. His words are true. A child of God will never die. Spiritually, the body's laid down. God is glorified, and even when we see the things we think are terrible and hateful and pity for and love these dear saints of God that suffer like those last week, God's greater than death.
Amen.
God's greater than the wicked, and God is certainly greater than we. That's a precious knowledge.